turn to Psalm 51, please. You'll bless the service, bless the people as they come, dear Lord. Especially bless the pastor as he brings what you've put on his heart. Thank you for another time that we can gather in your word. In Jesus' name.
In what you hear, oh
Lord, precious, precious.
Amen. Hallelujah. Yes. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. I don't know if this is the right time to call me up or not, but thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I take that back. It is the right time to call me up because it is the blood. I thank God for his living that allow me to be here today, to be able to stand before you to praise God for the blood of Jesus Christ today. So I want you guys to enter in today and thank God today. Yeah. Clap your hands, pat your feet, because if it had not been for the power and the blood of Jesus Christ, where would we be today? Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. It's all the blood of Jesus. It washes white as snow. Oh, oh, the blood of Jesus. Sing it, oh, the blood of Jesus. It's all.
Next, we have the Young Sisters. Thank you. Service. Pray that you bless the people as they give from the heart. Jesus. You give and has given so much for us. We just thank you for a time that we can give back. May you bless the people as they give in Jesus Christ's name. I live. Just stand with me just for a little bit. It's okay if you need to sit down. It's okay, but I just got to transition into something here. I just love the Lord Jesus. Amen. I love the Lord, and His Spirit was just so His Spirit is precious to us. And we ought to always reverence it, amen, when it comes into our midst. It's not all the time that you can come and feel the presence of the Lord. So when He's here, you just welcome that.
was listening to the service there in my office and just seeing how the Spirit was just lifting up. And I just appreciate that because I know it don't happen all the time. Amen. So let's just worship Him just a little bit, amen, if we can. This morning, my daughter asked me to, if we could just sing this song. And I felt that it was very appropriate for a moment like this. And again, if you need to be seated, it's okay. But I just want to worship Him just a little bit. Amen. The song says, welcome into this place. Welcome into this broken vessel. You desire to abide in the praises of your people. So we lift our hands and we lift our hearts as we offer up this praise unto your name. Amen. Anybody just want to praise Him? Is He worthy of the praise? Hallelujah. Welcome into this place. Hallelujah. Welcome into this broken vessel. You desire to abide in the praises of your people. So we lift our hands and we lift our hearts as we offer up the praises to your name. Come on, welcome into this place. Come on, sing. Welcome into this place. Hallelujah. Oh, welcome into this broken vessel. You desire to abide in the praises of your people. So we lift our hands and we lift our hearts as we offer up these praises to your name. Come on, sing it again. Welcome to this place. Oh God, we say welcome. Hallelujah. This place, welcome into this broken vessel. Welcome into this broken vessel. You desire to abide in the praises of your people. So we lift our hands. Yes, and we lift our hearts as we offer up the praises to your name. Come on, one more time. Welcome. Say, welcome to this place. Hallelujah. Oh, welcome. This broken vessel, you desire to abide in the praises of your people. So we lift our hands and we lift our hearts. Come on. So we lift our hands, say, so we lift. And we lift our hearts. Come on, somebody. So we lift our hands, yes. And we lift our hearts. Thank you, Jesus. So we lift our hands. Oh, and we lift our hearts. Come on, say it again. So we lift our hands. Come on, we lift our hands, yes we do. Oh.
Somebody worship him in this place. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God, we lift our hands. We lift our hearts. We lift our voices. We lift our lives to you, Jesus. Oh, yeah, yeah. Hallelujah. We lift our hands. So we Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. I feel good. His presence is so real, so precious to us. Thank God for his mighty presence. You can be seated. Be seated. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. I just love the Lord. Just love the Lord on today. Amen. I love him more today than I did on yesterday. Determined to serve him. Determined to live for him. Stand for him. Amen. It's just my determination, and that's my position. Amen. I have a couple of announcements that we want to just make mention of to you. Amen. I want to first just welcome precious brother Ernesto Medina
Amen. God bless you, Brother Ernesto. So good to have you, amen, with us on today. Amen. So he was invited by himself, so we thank God for that. Nothing wrong with that. Amen. Amen. We just believe God don't make mistakes. Amen. He knows exactly when and why we cross paths. God has everything under control. Amen. Tonight we'll have our foot washing and communion, amen, service communion and feet washing that will take place tonight at 5:30, amen, so we invite all the believers, amen, to come and participate, amen, in that service communion and feet washing. You know, there have been people that have been healed at communion, amen. There's people that have been absolutely healed because of communion. And you know, if we approach this the right way, you never know what God can do. Amen. And you know, don't get so caught up in some things, but this is something that God told us that we should be participating in until he returns. Amen. Come on now. Oh my God. Amen. I mean, some of us ain't been in communion and feet washing in years. Right, and some of us say, well, I got something that I need to get right. Well, it's been years and you ain't got it right yet. Come on, what you gonna do to get this thing right? And it's time for us to get back into the presence of the Lord and amen, and allow him to be God. Communion and feet washing is extremely important to the believer. Amen. The prophet said that's the showdown service. It says what's really on the inside of you. So we want to encourage believers, make every attempt. We only do it once a month. Amen. But make every attempt on that first Sunday of the month to try to get your schedule rearranged so you can be a part of the communion and the feet washing service. And if you've never been a part of it, you need to be a part of it. Amen. You need to be able to, yes, Lord, I attended communion and feet washing. Amen. Very important service. Also, on next Sunday, amen, no, that'll be Mother's Day. I've been invited to speak, amen, at the church right here in our plaza. Pastor Mays, good friend of Brother Smiley's, he asked me to speak, amen, there on next Sunday night. So I'll be there at 6 o'clock and just inviting all those that can be a part of the service, amen, to come and be a part of the service at 6 o'clock on next Sunday. Also, the youth service that we usually do once a month, that'll actually happen on the 31st, which will be the last Saturday of this month. It'll happen at 7 p.m. Amen. The youth service at 7 p.m. So keep that in mind. I'll let y'all go. Thank y'all so much. I appreciate your faithfulness. So keep that in mind. And I want to say thank God for all the specials. Amen. This morning. Appreciate, amen, Sister Michelle and Brother Leroy and the precious sisters that came and sang for us today. So God richly bless you. I also want to ask that you all would keep Brother Linwood Coleman, amen, in prayer. This, you know, Brother Linwood has been just kind of suffering in his body, you know, and earlier, I guess a few years ago, he lost one of his legs, amen, due to something that he's fighting there in his body. And on, I believe it was Friday, I think it was Friday, they had to actually amputate his other leg. And so please keep Brother Coleman in prayer. It's not easy to go through anything like this. And amen. And any brothers that happen to know Brother Coleman, if there's any way that you can just make it by the hospital and just share a word of prayer with them or something, it would mean a lot. It really would mean a lot, you know, and I know that it'll be helpful to him, just very encouraging to him. You get into things like this and you just feel so down. So please keep him in prayer. And if you could just show your face, right, I know that it'll just brighten up his day just a little bit, let him know that somebody cares about him and, amen, is concerned about him. So he's at, I think they call it West Palm Hospital now. It used to be called Columbia. But right here on 45th Street, amen, West Palm Hospital, that's where he is. And so let's keep him, let's keep Brother Coleman in prayer. Those legs used to be some of the best drumming legs in Palm Beach County. Brother Coleman was known for that, you know, for a number of years. And And, you know, we, and I appreciate it, Stan. You know, we, if I could just say it this way, we had to mature in the message, right? We had to mature. God gave us something powerful, right? This message is probably, I mean, the best thing to be unleashed on the earth. And when we got, because not only did we get the spirit, but we got the revelation behind, you know, what this was all about. And, you know, and as we were maturing with this message, when we first got a hold of it, you know, it's like a little kid getting a hold of an Uzi, right? He don't know what to do with that. If you get in his way, you're just going to get shot, right? And, I mean, and that's just kind of, I hate to put it that way, but that's the kind of way we were shooting everything. Everything shot down, you know. This, you move this way, shot down. I mean, it was, and you know what? We endured it, you know. I mean, it was, and I'm saying a lot without saying a lot. Amen. But there was a lot of things that we just kind of did, and you know, we could take it to the word, but we found a balance, you know, later on. But and that's the same. That's the way children, they have to find that balance, you know. And even in our spiritual walk, we have to find a balance. So if y'all would have got a hold of us, amen, some 20 years ago, y'all probably would not have liked us, amen. You know, but some kind of way we made it through, amen, and we still held on to it. Through all the things that we went through. Oh, glory to God. You know, and I mean, some of the old timers know exactly what I'm saying, you know, but man, it was rough. Now, like I said last week, you know, we're not letting down the standards. I still believe that some things are still wrong, right? And sometimes you got to make your declaration, amen, and let people, that's still wrong. God says it's wrong. Now, I mean, God does not hate the sinner. God loves the sinner, but God hates the sin that the sinner is doing, right? So, you know, we don't hate nobody because we might preach something that's against what people are doing. It's not that we hate you. We love you, but we got to tell you the truth. Amen. People don't even know what to repent of no more because everything is right. Everything seemed to be right. Right, I mean, it's hard to have an altar call. People, I mean, nobody want to come. It used to be a time, man, before you even had the altar call, people come rushing to the altar. I mean, they look for, especially you knew that you were sinning. Come on now, I'm getting out here. But you knew that you were sinning, and you knew that you weren't right, right? Amen, you couldn't wait to get to church for the pastor just to open up the altar. You sit there and you ain't heard nothing in the sermon. You ain't heard one thing. All you want is just open up that altar because I got to get right with God. That's the way it used to be. My people are ashamed, embarrassed to go and say, I need Jesus. Come on now. Amen. Or they'll just claim they got Jesus. Well, when did you get him? And if you got him, he should make a difference in your life. Right? Hey, man, I ain't never seen nobody come in contact with the Lord Jesus and was stayed the same. Amen. Everybody changes when they come into his presence. So, amen. But we thank God, you know, for just where he's brought us from. But Brother Coleman was, amen, back in those days, he was a tremendous drummer here in Palm Beach County. And when he accepted this message, you know, that some of our teachings at that time was, you know, no drums in church. And, you know, and there's still some that still believe that. Nothing wrong with that. You know, we understand where they're coming from. And one of the reasons why people say that is because sometimes drums bring the wrong atmosphere into a church. And here's what I'm going to tell you. It's not the drums that's bringing the atmosphere. It's the person that's on the drums that's bringing the wrong atmosphere. Amen, right? See, I mean, because, you know, the scripture said, praise him on the high-sounding cymbals, right? So let everything have breath, praise the Lord. So, but you still got to have the right person on the drum. Otherwise, we don't want to hear it. Oh, Jesus. You can have the wrong person on the piano, and it'll bring the wrong spirit. What was this that I was listening to? So I was at church and they had a new series just talking about the family, and they had everybody turn around and greet, you know, each other. And just, hey, welcome to church today. God bless you. You know, good to see your family. So their theme song for being family. Some of y'all already there. And the musicians just took out with "We Are Family in the House of God." And I say, are they playing that in Jesus' house? Yeah, they were playing "We Are Family." And just everybody just, you know, and you can imagine, they go from this to, I ain't gonna even show you what else. People just go from here to. Hey, but you know what did it right? It was the change of the music. The music actually created a different atmosphere. Come on. See, that's why you can't come to church and listen to praise and worship and, you know, and then as soon as church over, you go get in your car and you got that certain radio station on, you go from this to, hey. Woo. And I thank God, be like, how you got from there to there? I mean, just that fast. You was in church crying. And now you got your head moving like, And once your head get to moving like that, all of it, you lose control of things. You start doing stuff that you would never do. Come on now. I mean, you know, there's some dances that people do that they would never do unless they were, I mean, only reason they do is because they're under the anointing of that music. Now, let me tell you another thing. When you listen to that music, you don't even have to, amen, you don't even have to have it on at the time. Just the thought of it comes back into your mind. The words begin to replay. You don't even hear it nowhere around. It's only being heard in your head. And because it's being heard in your head, you start doing all kind of things that God ain't pleased with. Man, it's the music. You want to test your music? You want to test it? You want to know whether your music is good? Just grab a little kid. 3, 4 years old. Play your music. Don't tell them nothing. And you don't even do nothing. Just sit there just like you ain't doing nothing. Just reading or something. Put the music on in their presence. They can barely speak mama and dada. But if they start... they start doing that, there's a problem with that music.
That's right.
Christian music got that in it too.
That's right.
And see, I'm, you know, you got to understand that, you know, nowadays the Christian artists were merging with the secular artists trying to win them to Jesus. And I don't see not one of them ever got saved, right? Not one of them got saved, but it's more secular music not coming into the church. So who won the battle?
Right. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Right? I mean, there's a lot of Christian artists call themselves doing that. And, you know, whether they're being forced to or not because of the labels that they were under, whatever company they're working for, we don't know. But in all of that, why couldn't the Christians just get together and produce their own labels?
Right.
And
Amen. Amen.
Right? Amen. Yeah, it's all about money, y'all. It's really all about money. Praise the Lord. Amen. You got to watch this stuff.
Amen.
I mean, my God, Jesus help us.
Amen.
Okay. I was making an announcement by Brother Coleman. I got all the way over there. But I was saying that, you know, he was certainly a force to be reckoned with when it came to drums. But what I want to say is I admire him because he stayed with what we understood at the time. He didn't kick against it. And there are many people trying to pull Brother Coleman out. Like, you go in that church, they won't let you. They won't let you be free. They won't let you. But Brother Coleman stayed right there. All these years, he held right on to it. And then even years later, when they finally put the drums back in the church, he was right there to be the first ones to start playing again.
Yeah.
You just wait on God,
amen.
Right? You just wait on God. But we, you know, as a people, you know, we like I say, we got the hold of this, and we just. It wasn't balanced just right. And a lot of things, a lot of areas of our life, it wasn't balanced. It created a lot of problems in our families because of our lack of balance, right? Amen. You got to have balance, church. I preached that once before. You know, in your chair that you're sitting in, if one of them legs was not on there, that chair would be out of balance. Yeah. And when you went to sit in it, there'd be problems. So you if a table lost one of its legs, if it got four legs and it lose one of those legs, that table's it's useless to you. You can't put anything on it, can't do anything with it because it lost its balance. See, and the same thing it is, if we are out of balance with the word of God, then what we're saying is not going to help anybody. Amen. We got to keep the balance. Amen. Now, don't accept the sin,
right,
but keep the balance.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right, don't accept the sin. Now, we're not talking about that. Now, there's some things, like I say, I still believe, and I'm not changing on that now. Amen. But there's some things that, you know, maybe we could have handled a little differently.
Right.
Come on, if all of us can be honest like that, if all of us can be honest like that, we might make some progress. Our households would be different. There are some things in the home we could have handled a little differently. You learn as you go. You develop, you know, over the years. You learn. Amen. When it comes to, I'm just out here. I'm just all over the place. But even, you know, sometimes parents, when we're dealing with our kids, you know, you learn. There is no book, right? And I don't even care how many books they write. Your child different, right? So really, there ain't no book on how to handle this situation, right? I mean, your child do something like, boy, I don't know what I'm going to do with this. Now, and you just come to a conclusion. You just take out there and do it. Now, when you see a pattern that the other kids are doing it, sometimes you begin to, okay, wait a minute, maybe let me change the approach here. But the first one that did it, they just had to take the brunt of it, right? But you begin to kind of maybe make some modifications to your system, right? Because, you know, you realize that didn't work. And then on the other hand of that, might as well say this since I'm here. You know, the other side of that is that some kids, right, you can just talk to them and they're going to get it. Other kids, you got to beat them and then they're going to get it. All right? I tried talking with this one. They seem to get it. But this one I'm talking to, and they not. I put them in timeout. I did everything and they just not getting it. Well, that's the kind you need to pull out, you know, your rod. Now, notice the Bible says spare the. It didn't say spare the belt. I'm just kidding. Bible say rod. I'm just kidding with you. I ain't gonna have y'all take me off to jail. Amen. But praise the Lord anyway. But you know, you learn these things as you go, and you ought to be willing to make changes to your approach if you see something is not working. Amen. If you see something is not working, be willing to make changes to your approach, because you might save a spare life by doing that. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, there's times where there's times to be our children's friends. And then there's other times we got to be parents.
Amen.
Right? We got to just tell them like it is. And whether they want to hear it or don't want to hear it, they need to hear it from us. As the parent. And then there's other times you just need to be a friend to them. But you can't be a friend all the time. And so you can't be a parent all the time. Right? You got to be able to have a balance there. Right? Because some people just parents and they never really connect with their kids. Never try to hear what the, you know. Tell me, let me understand your point of view. Let me understand how you're approaching this. Give me some feedback. And kids, when you get that from your parents, you need to open up your mouth and talk. Right? Don't get with your friends and start talking all kind of stuff about it. You got an opportunity to open up your mouth and talk. And let's talk this out like adults. Now, at the end of our talk, if ain't nothing been said that's going to help me change my mind, then I'm going to be a parent. But I'm going to give you an opportunity to at least present your, produce your cause, your case, you know, give me something to work with, because I might be looking at it wrong.
Yeah.
All right, now.
Amen.
Ooh, Jesus. I don't know how I got all the way out there. I came up here with a thought to go this way, and I'm all the way out here. But God knows all things. God knows all things. Now, let me see how I'm going to work my way back. Amen. But, I just appreciate the Lord. We got a lot getting ready to happen here in the month of May and as well as June. And just want to encourage, amen, everyone just to be faithful to the service of the Lord. I know, and sometime this month, my daughter, Sarah, will be graduating. And we thank God for that. And I believe it's this week that Sister Jennifer is graduating with her associate's degree from college. So we congratulate Sister Jennifer. Amen on that. And, you know, just so happy to see all these young people achieving, you know, some good things. And for me and my wife, this just a, our baby, amen, is almost 18 years old, and she'll be graduating high school, and we're just grateful she got a job, and I'm happy for that. I had to teach them a few weeks ago that the purpose, see, now you got to understand, a job is necessary, or work is necessary, because, you know, God was the first one to go to work. All right, when he looked at the earth and said it was without form and void, God began to work on the earth. Anybody agree with that? Amen. He was the first one to go to work. Let there be light. That was now, but the purpose of God going to work was to make things better for the next person. So when man came onto the earth, it was all good because God had made it that way. Now man has made it bad. But our purpose for going to work is so that we can make it better for someone else. The reason I go to work, because I want to make it better for my kids, right? And when they go to work, they making it better for their kids. And I was going to say that. That's part of it, too. When they go to work, they making it better for me. Why are they making it better for me? I ain't got to keep paying these bills for them. They can take care of their own bills. They learn their own responsibility. Come on, I'm saying a lot. You got to understand the principle behind this thing and what you're trying to instill in your children, right? You got to make it better for the next generation, right? When they produced the telephone, somebody went to work to produce the first telephone. They made it better for us to communicate. But somebody else said, you know, we can do better than that. So they began to design, redesign other things, and they made the phone system better. So everybody makes it better for the next person, the next generation that's coming along. When we build a church, and it's not if, it's when. When we build a church, right? The reason that we are building a church is not for us, but we're making it better for the next generation. Oh my God. You have to see the picture of the whole thing there. That's why God does that. See, we're making it better for somebody else. Amen. When we bought those chairs, we were making it better. Y'all remember what we used to sit in, right? So we're always trying to make it better. When we came here, we went from one bathroom to two bathrooms. We were making it better. We certainly want enough when we go to the other, but not too big. Not too big, but just enough, you know. But you know, everything we're doing is to make it better. Everything we're doing. So we thank God, but there'll be some graduation that'll take place, and actually it's gonna happen on a Sunday morning, unfortunately for me. But we gotta be there to celebrate with our daughter and our brother Bill Hirschberger from Sarasota is going to be coming to preach to the church, amen. That's a few Sundays from now that we'll be away up in Orlando for the graduation, but Brother Bill Hirschberger will be here to preach to the church. Anytime we have to do something like that, we try to make sure that the church is getting fed, amen. And so we're going to have some food laid out here. We just need y'all to come eat it, right? That's all we need, amen. Just come eat it, because you know, and please, what Brother Jack ain't here, I know y'all ain't serving God just because of Brother Jack. I know it ain't that. But I know it's because you just love the Lord Jesus and you believe that he meets you here at Spirit and Truth. Amen. So we want to encourage you to do that. And then the following weekend, Brother Henry Simmons and his church, they'll be coming out here to be in fellowship with us. And we'll end up having a Friday night service, a Saturday night service, which will that'll be the youth service, and then a Sunday morning service with Brother Henry Simmons and some of the ministers from his church. So we're looking forward to, amen, that weekend at the end of the month, and then in June, I want to say thank you to the church at large Last year, you all blessed me and Sister Erica with a lovely, offering to go towards a cruise, and we have booked our cruise. And I'm taking Sister Erica, soon as school is over, as soon as school is out, I'm taking Sister Erica away for a 7-day cruise, to Alaska. So we're looking forward, to that in the month of June. So we just want to, we appreciate everybody that just contributed, and we just really thank you because, that made it happen for us. That really made it happen, and we're very grateful. So, we're looking forward to that. So a lot coming up, and after that, the summer's always busy, but we're just looking forward to all that God has in store. All right, I think that's it that I need to just mention, and I'll try to read a scripture here for you on today. And we were talking a little bit on Friday night, about knowing the master of the wind, and I just a little something there that just kind of stayed in my spirit, and maybe we'll just talk a little bit more, on today from a different angle. But church, I think it's time we remind ourselves of who we really are in Christ. Amen. Jesus didn't come to the cross to die just so that we can experience salvation, but it was also to restore us back to a place in God that we had lost as a human race. Amen. Jesus came to give all of that back. Now, you'll never experience that until you come through repentance, right? You'll never experience all that God has until you come through repentance, but it wasn't just to stop at repentance. He has so much more for us, and we want to walk in all that God has for us. So let's just stand and let's read a scripture, out of Mark chapter 11, and then we will, I'll let you be seated. Mark chapter 11, verse 22. It says, Jesus answering said unto them, have faith in God. Verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. And let's see here. Yeah, okay, that's all I want to read from there. And just turn with me over to 1 John 4. We read this on Friday night. I just want to read it again. 1 John 4:4 says this, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Let's just bow in a word of prayer. God, we thank you for the ability to read. But God, we don't want to just stop at reading. We really want to understand what it is that you need for us to capture here. And understanding that there's more that you've called us to as your people. And Lord, we want to walk in everything that you have ordained for us to walk in. So we trust that you would just help us to get a really good grasp on your word today, and just speak it to our hearts, that we would see what you need us to see. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. So just wanted to take for a title today, when omnipotence speaks, the miraculous will happen. Amen. It will happen when omnipotence speaks. And, we were just kind of working through this on Friday night, and just talking about Jesus, how he was tired. And he jumped into the boat with the disciples and told them, let's go on up to the other side. And he was actually going over. He didn't tell them ahead of time, but Jesus was going over to bring deliverance to a young man that was captive. Now, when we read it over in the book of Matthew, you actually see it was two people that were possessed with demons, But over in the book of, I believe, Mark, you'll see that they recorded as one person. Now, and all you're seeing there in the scripture, you know, because, you know, nowadays people see two different things like that in the scripture, and then they just discredit the whole Bible. They say it's not right, it's not consistent. Well, what you're seeing when you're reading the book of Matthew and you're reading the book of Mark, you're reading the book of Luke, you're reading the book of John, this is an individual's perspective of their encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ, right? But it's still all tied together. That tell you that somebody was delivered when Jesus got to the other side of this sea. You know, somebody was delivered. So they're all giving their various accounts of it. And one of the things that both Matthew and Mark could account for is that they got on a boat, and when they got in this boat to go over to the other side, said Jesus was asleep. Now, both of them, Matthew and Mark, says that Jesus was asleep. Now, what we found out on Friday night is that he really wasn't asleep, right? Because, and the reason I can tell you that Jesus wasn't asleep is because the Bible says that he never sleeps nor slumbers, right? He's always got his eyes open watching everything that's going on. Amen. I thank God to serve a God like that. Amen. Sometimes you go through life and you might feel like he's sleeping. He not responding. So, you know, and many of us have done the same thing that Jesus did on this boat. You know, there's times in our life where we just don't want to be bothered. Right. And sometimes, you know, if you got kids just messing with you about, you know, they want some Kool-Aid or they want some this or they want, you know, look, you old enough to go in there and get your own Kool-Aid. Don't come messing with me. I'm trying to sleep in this morning. Right. I mean, everybody go through that. And we like, you know, I don't want to be bothered. So I want to see what you're going to do about it. I want to watch your reaction in this situation. So there Jesus laying in the boat. And they say that he was asleep. But really what we found out Friday night, he really wasn't asleep. He was waiting to see what they were going to do about it. And here they looked and hear the storm coming. And like I said Friday night, those guys being, amen, men of the sea, they would know when to get on the water and when not to get on the water. Right? So they didn't have any fear that, you know, that something was getting ready to happen. They just got in the boat and just start taking off. So, you know, if they got out there in that ship and they was on their way to the other side, amen, all out of nowhere, a tempestuous storm came upon them. And this happens to us in life. Oftentimes we're just doing fine. Everything is running very smooth in our life. And out of nowhere, a tempestuous storm comes into our life. But when that storm happens, God is watching to see, what are you going to do? Right? Because some people get into a tempestuous storm, they start turning around trying to go back. Right? There's others that's going to find some way to press right through it, and there's others that's going to call on Jesus. Right? Amen. He want to know, what are you going to do about it? You going to try to fix it yourself? You going to turn and run from it? Or are you going to call on the Lord Jesus? Oh, hallelujah. So, you know, here, they're in the boat and it's the storm coming, as I read Friday night. Say, what happened was that Satan got in the wind. Satan got in the sea. Satan got in that and created that problem. So when they went to wake Jesus, Jesus just went and stood at the front of the boat and said, peace be still. And when that occurred, the disciples had just watched him, you know, speak the word, and it brought healing to him, the centurion's servant. They had just watched that event take place, and now they look, and now the wind has stopped roaring. The seas have stopped rolling after Jesus spoke, peace be still. See, Jesus was omnipotent. See, Jesus was all-powerful, and when omnipotence speaks, then the miraculous has got to happen. Oh, Jesus. Amen. So when he stood there and he stood on the front of that boat and said, peace be still, and he said, now you a little faith, why don't y'all just, y'all should have said something to this storm. You didn't have to call me. You should have said this yourself. Peace be still. I told y'all to go to the other side. I told y'all to do certain things. Why are you turning around looking for me to do it? I got to get into there in just a little bit. Right. But here Jesus said, you know, well, peace be still. Turn around, and went and laid right back down. Man, and the disciples looked and said, what manner of man is this? That even the winds and the seas obey
The man spoke, and did y'all just see what I saw? Mark, did you see what I saw? Matthew, did you hear what I heard? This man that's inside of our boat, this man just spoke to wind, and the wind stopped. This man spoke to the sea, and there was peace in the midst of it when this man spoke. What matter of man is this? See, and the answer to that question is that this man, ooh, Jesus, I just love talking about him, y'all. This man was the creator of heavens and earth. So if he created the wind, certainly he can tell the wind what to do. If he created the sea, certainly he can tell the sea what to do. If he created my body, certainly he can tell my body. Certainly he can tell that sickness in my body what to do. When God made me, God didn't make no junk. So cancer got to leave my body. Diabetes has got to leave my body. Blindness has got to leave my body. Omnipotence is speaking, and the miraculous will take place. I'm under expectation for a church. I'm under expectation. When we just stop and just really think about this, this is the creator of the heavens and the earth that's inside this boat, that's speaking to this wind and speaking to these waves and, you know, whatever other condition that was there. And when he got onto the other side, he spoke to some demons and told them to leave. I mean, demons were paralyzed when this man would speak. You know how many other people probably come through that path? How many other people probably passed that way through, got out their ships and came through and here this man, or actually in the book of Matthew says two men that were there. Uh-huh. And here, you know, they come through and when they come through, maybe they attacking people. Uh-huh. People might have signs posted. Don't go that way because these guys are crazy. Uh-huh. Don't get into that area because you don't know what these guys will do. Right? I mean, but, you know, we got to know that the greater one is on the inside of us. We don't have to live in fear. Maybe some of the people say, no, don't approach it. Don't. You better go around because these guys have lost their mind. But Jesus goes right on up. And maybe the disciples saying, you know, Jesus, now, you know who live over here, right? Yeah, don't worry. Let's go on out. Let's get on out the boat. Step out on the boat and hear this guy come running and bowing down and worshiping. And when he gets there to worship and everything, the demons just begin to talk in and out of him. Like, you come to cast us out before our time. They knew exactly what time it was. They recognized Jesus.
Amen.
Woo.
Amen.
See, even the demons knew about him.
Right.
You understand? Even the demons knew about him. I mean, we as a human race, the people at that time, they might have heard about him. Some hadn't heard about him, but many that had heard about him, they longed to see him. Even the demons knew that, man, this is the guy they've been talking about. He ain't said a word yet. But the demons recognized the authority that they recognized, the omnipotence that was inside of him. They recognized the power that was inside of this man, Jesus. You can stand there and say, you're going to cast us out before our time? Well, no. Actually, it was never your time to be inside of this fellow. It was never your time. See, but you're going to cast out. I don't know. Because, see, what the devil wanted to do is steal, kill, and destroy. And since the devil had not destroyed that man, they figured that their time wasn't. Come on now. Their time wasn't enough. You know, that sickness that we're fighting in our bodies, that's the devil trying to destroy. He feel like his time is not up until he accomplished his purpose. But if he ever comes in contact with the Lord Jesus, his time is up. And what I'm trying to present to you this morning, I'm trying to bring an atmosphere and a presence where the Lord Jesus can speak once again. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. I don't want it just to be another Bible story. I don't want it to be just another sermon. I want to see the manifestation of this God that we're talking about in the Bible. I want to see him make himself real today. Oh, it's good for me to tell you about other people's testimonies, but some of us got our own red seas that we're facing. Some of us got our own lion's dens that we're in. We need that same God to move right now. He's not a God of history. He's a God of right now. And if he did it before, he's able to do it again.
Jesus.
Them demons knew that their time was up, and so they asked Jesus for permission to go into the swine. And you've heard it many times said before, and I'll say it again. Those demons could get their prayer answered, then church, what about us?
Amen.
If demons could ask for permission to go in swine, and Jesus said, yes, you can go into the swine, they got their prayers answered. If they can get an answer, what about us as the children of God? He loves us way more than a demon. Any demon. Oh, my God, my God, my God, my God. Omnipotence speaks the miraculous. It's going to take place. It's going to take place. Now, let me just, I brought to you, amen, an example on Friday night of even, you know, how God proved through the ministry of God's prophet, William Branham. He showed that this scripture was still living. As 50, 60 years ago, this scripture was still living. And what he did one time, he happened to be as a hunting guide. And he was out there in Colorado, and he was hunting and showing, you know, the men where to get their game and everything like that. And you know, and he heard, you know, on the news that there was going to be a tremendous storm come, amen, through Colorado. So a lot of people heard about it, people that were driving from California trying to come east. And they say, don't go through Colorado because the storm is coming and you might get stuck. So you better go around that. Right. So, you know, all people from all everywhere just getting ready for this storm. So the men were up hunting, and the prophet said, look, the storm is coming. So it's probably best that y'all get out now. If y'all got anything y'all need to do next week, y'all better get out right now and go tend to that, because if you get caught in that storm up here, we're going to be here for a week, right? So the guy said, no, we're going to vote. We're going to stay. Well, then another day went by. A guy said, no, I think we better leave. And some of them got on out and they left. And then a few other states. So, you know, here the prophet was there, and he went to go hunting and went looking for a deer. And as he was up there hunting, he said like a big sheet of ice just came down. And he said, uh-oh, the storm has started. He said that the snow was like quarters falling to the ground. Say, oh, man, this storm is coming. And as he started trying to make his way down the mountains, and he started thinking in his mind, being a hunter, say, I got to get to this spot. And when I get to that spot, then I can cross over here, and then I can do that. Then I get back up into the camp, and then I'll be safe, right? He already got it mapped out in his mind. But as he's walking, amen, trying to approach the camp, he heard the voice of the Lord tell him. It says, go back up from the way you came. And he said, now, wait a minute. Now, why would God take me and put me inside of a death trap? Say, that don't make no sense. God don't do things like that. Why would God put me inside a death trap? That's the way we think, that God wouldn't put us in certain situations. Ooh. You that's the way that we human beings think. God won't do me like that. Now, you don't know what God will do. And God might put you there for a very specific reason. Oh, hallelujah, church. Oh, glory to God. You don't know what? I mean, you know, I remember Brother Wisdom one time shared a testimony with me how he got kind of caught in a little situation where, you know, he was driving and ran out of gas, right? He ran out of gas, but while he was there, he just began to speak and pray, and that car made it to the gas station, right? And now, I don't think God put him in that situation or allowed him to get in that situation for just any reason, but it's something to remind him that if I can put gas in your car, right? If I can make sure you don't get trapped out here on the side of the road, what else can I do for you? Right? Don't doubt me, because you know I've already done it. Huh? Some of y'all Sister Brown gave a testimony on Friday how God protected her from an accident. It could have been much worse than what it was, but if God can stop the devil, amen, from bringing on a worse accident, God can do anything. Oh, hallelujah. If God can give Abraham and Sarah a baby when they were past bearing our children, God can do anything. If God can take somebody's blinded eyes and give them sight, God can do anything. They were. You say the storm start coming, so they're like, "Oh Lord, what am I gonna do? I can't believe that God would put me in a situation like this, where, you know, man, it's a death trap." But as he say, I know it's the same voice that spoke to me when I was a little boy, that told me not to eat or drink or smoke or do anything that would defile my body, because he had a word for me to do. That's the same voice speaking to me right now. Yeah. So it says he went on back up. Went on back up and said, "Lord, I don't know why you told me to come up here, and here I am, but I know it's your voice. I walk by faith to get up here." And he says, he heard the voice of the Lord say, "I'm the same God that stood out there on the front of a ship and said, 'Peace, be still.'" Wow. Say, "I am the same God right now." There's one problem. That God, that same God that was there whispering in the prophet's ear. Now he say, "I'm the same God that spoke." That means when he was here on the earth, he spoke to the sea. He spoke to the wind. But there's one problem now. Say, "I'm the same God. Only thing is, I just need a body."
Yes, Lord. Amen.
I'm the same God. But what I'm looking for today is a body that I can dwell in, and I can prove that I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. See, I mean, today, you know, that same God is trying to get something over to us, because today the prophet is not here. But God looking for some more bodies that will yield themselves. Hallelujah. That will yield themselves to the word of God and to the will of God and say, "Lord, here I am, use me."
Yes, Lord.
So I'm the same God. I'm the same God that spoke, "Peace, be still." I'm the same God. Say, now what I want you to do is speak to this storm, and it's going to do exactly what you say it's going to do. Prophet say, "My." So he said, "Storm, go back. Sun, come out and shine for 4 days."
Right.
In the name of Jesus. That's all he said. Now, it wasn't a prayer. It's what we call spoken word.
Hallelujah.
And God anointed the prophet to use the spoken word.
Hallelujah.
Now, if God could do that 60 years ago, then can he still do it today?
Amen.
Oh, my God. Now, I want to make this clear. What I'm talking about is not for everybody. Just because you go to church, it's not for you. All right? This is only going to be for people that's filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. The question is, how do I get the Holy Ghost? The Bible says that you have to be baptized. Repent first. That's the first. Repent. And if most people won't go to church and won't repent, they'll never see this power. But once you come to a place of true repentance, then you are baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not in Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, but in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why would Peter say that anyway? Why would Peter say something different than what Jesus said? Because Peter caught a revelation of what the name of the Father, what the name of the Son, and what the name of the Holy Ghost was. Their name is Jesus Christ. One person, one God, one God who's Father of us all. Not three gods, one God.
Amen.
He is the Father, he is the Son, and he is the Holy Spirit dwelling on the inside of us. And if we can get that revelation that Jesus is dwelling on the inside, the God that created heavens, the God that created earth, the God that said, "Peace, be still," that God is living inside of you. And church, this morning, greater is he that is inside of you than he that's in the world. Oh, Jesus. Glory. No way, we can't be defeated, church. When was God ever defeated? We will never be defeated. I don't know about you, but when this revelation, I mean, it strikes me, I begin to realize, man, I'm invincible. I'm invincible. I can't be defeated. Contract already been signed. We already know who's supposed to win and who's going to lose. We already know these things. So when I jump into this ring of life, I'm expecting to win, because I already know before the foundational world, the contract was signed. My God, hallelujah, church. See, I mean, you know, the prophet even told us there. Let me read that quote for you in the revelation of Jesus Christ. Oh, glory. We got to recognize this. We got to understand who's on the inside. If you repent, be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible say you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now, there are some people that might have already received the Holy Ghost and was never baptized the right way. That happened too in the scripture. But once the scripture came to them, once they understood the light of the word of God, with the Holy Ghost, they could agree with the word, and they went to get baptized according to the word.
Yes.
That's Acts 19. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let me just read this. The revelation of Jesus Christ. Now remember this, Christ in the true church is a continuation of the book of Acts. But the book of Revelation shows that the Antichrist spirit would come into the church, and this is exactly what has happened. When they can play, what's that song I told you? We Are Family. When you can play that into the church, that's the Antichrist spirit coming into the church and defiling it. Huh? People get up and sing anything in church nowadays. I remember my y'all pull that down just for a second. My mama telling me this story. My uncle, he went to church one day. They had a 4 o'clock program, and when they went to the program, my uncle, I guess he's really not a singer, but they called him up to sing. It's other members in the family that sing, but they called him up to sing. But my uncle went up there and they're like, "Oh Lord, you know, see, family, right?" Other folk might not know, but family know family. And all them kind of underneath these pews, like, "Oh, Lord, oh, no, what are you going to get up there and do?" My uncle got up there and started singing some song of the blues in church. The whole family was embarrassed, right? But, you know, back then, he would have got corrected real quick, I'm sure. I'm sure my grandma didn't let that go too long, right? As soon as he got, "Boy, don't you ever get up in church and sing nothing like that." But nowadays, we encourage it. Or we sing these songs that's just halfway in between. We don't know who they're talking about. Is it a song about Jesus or is it a song about a relationship? Huh? Amen, church. Glory to God. We need to bring Jesus back into the church. Thank you, Lord. All right, stay with me. It says, the book of Revelation shows how that the Antichrist spirit would come into the church and defile it, making it lukewarm, formal, and powerless. It exposes Satan, revealing his works, attempted destruction of God's people, and the discrediting of God's word, right down to the time he is cast into the lake of fire. He fights that. He cannot stand it. He knows that if the people get the true revelation of the true church and what she is, what she stands for, and what and that she can do the greater works, she will be an invincible army. If they get a true revelation of the two spirits within the framework of the Christian church and by God's spirit discern and withstand the Antichrist spirit, Satan will be powerless before her.
I just like it.
Satan will be powerless. I mean, no matter what he's fighting you with, Satan will be powerless. You got to hold on to words like this, right? Satan will be powerless before her. He will be as definitely thwarted today as when Christ withstood his every effort to gain power over him in the desert. Yes, Satan hates revelation. But we love it. With true revelation in our lives, the gates of hell cannot prevail against us, but we will prevail over them. Amen. That's what I say to that. Amen. Amen to the word of God. The prophet was there, and he spoke, and God said, "I'm the same God. I'm the same God that spoke to the sea and the wind, and it had to obey my voice." That was omnipotent, the all-powerful speaking. And that's why the winds and the sea had to obey, because when omnipotence speaks, then miraculous happens. He was the same God that was in the prophet that anointed him to say, now, and he didn't tell him what to say. He just said, whatever you say. Now, he could have said, sun come out for 365 days. He could have said that, and the sun would have did it. He could have said it, church, and the sun would have did it. But he said, sun come out 4 days and storm you go back. Many people in the city began to testify about how they saw a storm coming. The storm started, and then all of a sudden it just stopped. Many people could testify about that, right? So, I mean, he had witnesses there. But what I'm trying to get you to say is that God needed a body that he could use to speak these things, and he happened to use Brother Branham's body. Amen. Brother Branham's not here today. God still needs some bodies that will believe his word in this manner, that he can use you to speak through and speak to. I was thinking on this, going back in scripture. God has always been trying to get people to use their mouth and speak. Don't stop complaining, but I want you to speak. I want you to recognize who is inside of you. Let me just, y'all bear with me here. Give me this message, Why Cry Speak. And I want to just take a little time here, and I want you to catch these principles. God has always been looking for somebody. And I'm just, Lord, I'm available. God, I want you to use me, not for my glory, but for your glory. See, I want to be used by you. Hallelujah. Look at this. Now, just to kind of set you up on this, this is Moses has been told to take the children of Israel into the promised land. All right? And as he is getting ready to take them to the promised land, you know, he's already, Moses spoke out of his mouth. He called for flies. He called for lice. He called for all kinds. That came out of Moses' mouth, not God's. Right? Now, Moses already done these things, but now he's found himself in a little trouble. Let's look at this and Why Cry Speak. It says, God said, now I got them started on their journey. God's so happy. Boy, I finally got them right where I need them to be. I got Moses, got the people following. Man, they're coming out. They're getting ready to be delivered. God said, now I've got them started on their journey. They're all done, called out. The church is together. So I got them on their journey. Now, Moses, take them over. I told you to. I'm going to sit down and rest a while. That's what God said. I'm going to sit down and rest a while. Moses said, oh, Lord, look, coming here. Here comes a Pharaoh. The people are, what must I do? What must I do? And see there, isn't that just human beings? Now, I want you to just try to get yourself on the scene. God going to go sit down just a little bit. Like, I'm going to go sit down and rest. And while he can rest, sit down here. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. What you? Lord. Here come Pharaoh. What must I do?
Oh, God.
And it just shook God. What must I do?
Oh, my God. Jesus.
You the same man that just spoke flies and lice and all these other things, and you asking me what must I do? Let's just stay with it. See, isn't that just human beings? Yes, sir. Begin to cry, what must I do? Here we see Moses expressingly fully human nature. Right, and that's exactly what we do sometimes. I mean, God could have just delivered us. Last week, God paid your bill. Last week, you saw God make a way. This week, another company sends you a bill. You're like, well, God, that was last week. But this is this week. Well, the same God that did it last week is going to do the same thing over this week. Sister Brown said it one time. Say, I am his responsibility. My wife, when she see the bills come, she just lay them right there on my desk. Don't even worry about them. Just lay them right there. Because I told her, just put it right here. I take care of it. She put it right there every time so I can take care of it. She don't go, oh, how are we going to do it? No, just lay it right there. Ooh, Jesus. That's faith that is going to get done. Sometimes there's some things you're going to face in life. Just give it to Jesus. Just give it to him. Just lay it right there. He'll take care of it. You are his responsibility. That's why your mortgage is going to get refinanced, because you are his responsibility. That's why you're going to get a new car, because you are his responsibility. That's why you're going to find an apartment, because you are his responsibility. That's why that sickness is going to leave your body, because you are his responsibility. You got to believe that, church. We got to believe it. I'm his responsibility. Look at this. He says, Moses said, oh, Lord, look, come in here. Here comes Pharaoh. The people are, what must I do? What must I do? See, there isn't that just human beings. Yes, sir, begin to cry, what must I do? Here we see Moses expressingly, fully human nature, always wants God to get behind you and push you into something. Now, that's us today. You want God, after we've seen all we've seen, you want God to push you to do something, see? Moses has just laxed around, said, God, I'll go ask you, see what you say. Yeah, you say it. Well, all right, I'll say it too. He waiting to see what God going to say, then he going to say it. But that's the wrong approach. Because the Bible say God is waiting to see what we say. See, have faith in God, for verily I say unto you that whatsoever shall, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thy ruler, that's whatsoever you say. That's not what God said, but what are you saying? Now, I'm going to tell you something. If you really got Christ in your life, you're only going to say what God's saying. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, God. Oh, God. Let me just keep going. Let me just bear with me for a little bit. If Jesus was here right now, I'm talking about in the flesh. If Jesus was here preaching, any of us, because I battle too. I battle sickness. Any of us that battle sickness, is there any way, is there any possibility that if Jesus was standing right here right now, that we would leave this church with that sickness?
No way.
Amen.
If God's prophet was here having a prayer line, is there any way that we would leave this church not having that thing dealt with some kind of way? Well, I'm telling you, Jesus is still here. Oh, God. His word is still here. His presence is still here. And if we could just get faith, to get our faith anointed, things will change. I'm trying to get you to see that, you know, not only was God all powerful, and when he came as Jesus, yes, that was the creator, but that same spirit now is inside of us. And that makes us omnipotent. That makes us all powerful. And that makes when we speak, something miraculous should happen.
Amen.
Glory to God. Glory to God. Let me just keep going. Y'all bear with me. It says, but here, God had ordained him for the job, proved that he was with him. And here he is, the circumstance comes up, and then he begins to cry, what can I do? Lord, what can I do? Now, you remember, he has already prophesied here, for he said, these Egyptians that you see today, you'll see no more, right? And he says, and then immediately begin to cry out, God, what can we do? See, after he done a pretty good job in prophesying there, you see, he done told them what would happen. If the word of God was in him, it was in him. And when he was telling that, it actually come to pass. What he said was already going to come to pass. And where he was crying out, and here he was crying out, what am I going to do? Now, I need you to just stay with that. Let's go back now to the scripture. Let's tie these two things together. Let's go back here to Mark 11. I want to tie this together. It says, Mark 11, verse 22, it says, Jesus answered and said unto him, have faith in God. Have faith in God. For verily I say unto you. And your Bible, that's written in red. So that's Jesus speaking. Okay? Verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass. He shall have whatsoever he saith. Now, I just gave you a little outline there with Moses, because Moses, after he done spoke all these things into Egypt, and now God's got the people coming out, and now they're at the Red Sea, and Pharaoh's army's behind them, and the Red Sea in front of them. And God told Moses, don't go a particular way. He said, I don't want you to go through, amen, these other people's land, because I don't think the people are ready for battle. But go this way. And as they're approaching that sea, all the people begin to yell and scream, Moses, Pharaoh's army. And Moses stood up by inspiration. God did not tell Moses to say that. God didn't tell Moses. And you got to understand something about inspiration. There's times that I come up here and I speak, and I got my notes all here on my iPad, and I'm ready. I'm going to say this, and I'm going to say that, and I'm going to say this. But then God would just kind of take over the message, and inspiration will start coming. And when you see that inspiration is coming, not just me, but any minister that stands, inspiration will take over the sermon. And when that occurs, you got to be able to get into that channel, because God is speaking something directly to you at that time. Yes. Moses stood there by inspiration. And when God never even told him to say this. Moses just let it out of his mouth. The Egyptians that you have seen today, you will see them no more forever. Now I can imagine Moses being just like me. I can't believe I just said that. Can't believe I just said that. See, it's human nature, right? This happened also with the prophet. You know, God told him, say, now you believe that scripture? You believe you can have whatever you say? You believe that? Yeah, Lord, I believe it. You sure you believe it? Are you certain? Yes, I believe it. See, okay, I'm going to challenge you. You hunting, right? Yeah, what you hunting for? Squirrels. You ain't found a squirrel all day, have you? No. How many squirrels you want? 3. Now tell me where you're going to get them from. You say it, and it's going to do exactly what you say. And he said, I want 1 squirrel. He said, do something impossible. Run up this tree and do this and get out on that limb, and I'm going to shoot you right down the limb. Within about 30 minutes, squirrel come up, wham, shot it, drop, dead. Where the second one coming from? This is a conversation that God is having with this prophet. Where's the second one going to come from? This one going to come over here and do that and do this, and I'm going to shoot it. It did exactly what he said. He shot it. Got the 2 squirrels, picked them up, said, my God, I ain't never been in, Lord, I don't know. He said, am I in a vision or what? He touched the squirrel, it was bleeding. He said, visions don't bleed. This is real. This is reality. This scripture is real. Got his squirrel, say, Lord, I thank you, God. I appreciate you. And he just praising God. God stopped him in the middle of his praise. No, 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 no. This thing ain't over. You got 2. How many of you said you wanted? It's going to be like you say. And if you see, God need to know that. We need to know who's dwelling on the inside of us. When God say, let there be light, he expected it to be like he said. When he say, peace be still, he expected to be like he said. He's not going to stand there and fight with the wind and the wave. No. Peace be still. Go lay down somewhere. No, I said it's going to be like, that's what I said in my Bible. It's going to be like what you said. Now I want you to speak. Speak. Where the third one going to be at? Okay, Lord, it's going to do this. It's going to do that. It's going to do this. Shot the third one. Picked it up. And I'm going to tell you right now, that happened 2 times in his life. Why you think God allowed that to happen 2 times in the prophet's life? To try to get us to see that this scripture is living. This scripture is real. And God wants us to begin to walk this way. The omnipotent God is dwelling in his people. If an omnipotent God is dwelling in you, that makes you omnipotent. And when the omnipotent speaks, the miraculous will happen. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. I was thinking, there's many different people that we can go through in the scripture and we'll see. It was like they said. We got Moses and the Egyptians, and amen. And Moses said, the Egyptians that you see no more, you'll see no more forever. And when God parted the Red Sea and they began to walk through on dry land, them Egyptians came through following, and God caused the water just to cave in on those Egyptians. Now, Moses didn't know what was going to happen when he said it. He didn't know how it was going to happen, but he just spoke it.
You know, I'm gonna tell y'all something that I spoke, and I might as well say it because I spoke it. I can't go back on it. I don't know. I was reading something this week and it spoke to me. This pastor that was talking about how he got his church grew and all these other things, and they built some, you know, really nice buildings and everything. And how his ministry just flourished, but he said they kept speaking positive things, kept confessing positive, kept confessing. So, you know, I was under that anointing, I think. And I don't know what, I was either that anointed or listening to this tape, all that combined together, I just got anointed. And you know how sometimes you can be all by yourself and just start shouting and I mean, you about ready to speak in tongues and run around the car and just, you know, you just get it, you have one of them moments. If you ever serve God, you know what I'm talking about. I mean, you can be all by yourself. You don't need nobody to help you praise God. You just have a moment. That's all I can call it, right? And I was just having a moment. And I just started speaking, and I just spoke it out of my mouth. I said, we're going to have a property. We're going to have property debt-free. We're going to build a church. We're going to build a school. Debt-free. So I said that because I'm going to need y'all to bring that back to me. And maybe when I go back and listen to this tape, that'll come back to me. Amen. Not on credit, debt-free. Did God build on credit? God didn't build this earth on no credit. Huh? He spoke it, and that's the way it was. All right. Amen. My Father lives on the inside of me. Great is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Y'all ain't got no credit. We got a big God. All right. Debt free. So I spoke it this week, and as soon as I spoke it, I say, that's what I said. Because before I spoke it, I was already thinking about, man, maybe I should apply for this loan. I should do this and I should do that. And I had already had them thoughts in my mind that I'm gonna go do this. We're gonna just see where we get started. We're gonna try. All of a sudden, I got under this anointing and it just came out. It just out of inspiration. Just straight out inspiration. I said, we're gonna build a church and a school debt free.
Amen.
And Now that it spoke, I released it into the atmosphere, so now it can come back. And I don't. And if God, when God speaks, nothing that He speaks returns void. So but now I didn't just speak that just to be speaking. I was underneath an anointing at that time, right? And when I got underneath that anointing, it just came out, just like Moses was underneath an anointing when he said, "The Egyptians that you see today, you ain't gonna see them no more forever." Now, he didn't know what was going to happen. He didn't know if he was going to have to take them all out. He didn't know if the rest of them was going to get some rocks from somewhere and take them Egyptians out. They didn't even have weapons. How you going to say something like that? We didn't even got no weapons, Moses. Well, I can't help it. I don't know why I said it. Because, you know, sometimes, you know, as soon as you say something, somebody's, now you're going to have to explain that one. I can't explain it. Just like God can't explain, God don't explain things that he do either. Amen. Now God don't explain it. How many fish and loaves y'all got? You bring them here. Let me just pray over this. See, because the God we serve don't subtract. The God we serve don't divide. But the God we serve, he will add and he will multiply. Hey, glory to God. What is today's day? What's today's date? May 3rd? May 4th, 2014. We declare by faith that we're going to build a new church and we're going to build a school debt free. And I believe when omnipotence speaks, the miraculous will take place. My God, my God, my God.
See, I know where I'm standing. I don't have time to read all this for you today, but I know the prophet told us, he says this word that he's left behind on printed pages is a part of him when you accept it by faith into a spirit-filled life. He said that his word was life, John 6:63b, but that is exactly what he is. John 14:6 says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Romans 8:9b says, if any man have not the spirit of Christ, he is none of his. There it is. I'm reading from the Pergamene Church Age. This is at in the Church Age book, 170-2 is where I am. It says, there it is. He is spirit and he is life. That is exactly what the word is. That is exactly what Jesus is. He is the word. Now, this is the part that I'm standing on. So when a spirit-born, spirit-filled man in faith takes that word into his heart and places it upon his lips, why, that is the same as deity speaking.
Hallelujah.
Jesus.
Hallelujah.
I'm going to say it again. Jesus. When a spirit-born, spirit-filled man in faith takes that word into his heart and places it upon his lips, why, that is the same as deity speaking. He says, every mountain has to go. Satan cannot stand before that man. Just put in paragraph, just put in 170-2, and it'll come up, 170-2. Church, what we just did here today, right, we just spoke by faith. And you know, I'm going to tell you something. I did not get up here to say that. I didn't get up here to say that. That's what I mean by when inspiration comes in, you just got to move with inspiration. My message is not on schools and churches being built. But by inspiration, we speak it, knowing that the same God that honored Moses will honor us. Thank God for some people that believe it. Can I just, let me keep reading. Pull that one up for me. Let me just keep reading. I want to keep reading that. Look at, just scroll down in it just a little bit, right at the bottom of it. That's where you'll see what I just said, right there. So when a spirit-born, spirit-filled man in faith takes the word into his heart and places it upon his lips, why, that's the same as deity speaking. I'm talking about, I know the master of the wind now. He in my boat. And now that I know how he do things, I know what he expect me to do when I run into a little situation. Oh, glory to God. Joshua spoke to the sun, and that did something that it never happened. Never happened, and never will happen again, but Joshua did it. It wasn't God speaking, it was Joshua speaking. God and Joshua speaking. God needs some bodies that he can borrow today to get his work done. Let me just keep reading. It says, if the church way back there in the third age had only held on to the revelation of the living word in their midst, the power of God would not have faded as it did in those dark ages. And right today, when the church returns to the word in faith, we can say without doubt that the glory of God and the wonderful acts of God will be in her midst again. Listen, one night as I was seeking the Lord, the Holy Spirit told me to pick up my pen and write. As I grasped the pen to write, His Spirit gave me a message for the church. I want to bring it to you. It has to do with the word and the bride. Look at this. Here's what I'm trying to say to you. The law of reproduction is that each species brings forth after its own kind, even according to Genesis 1:11. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass and the herb yielding seed and the fruit tree yielding fruit after its kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. Whatever life was in the seed came forth into a plant and thence into fruit. The very same law applies to the church today. Whatever seed started the church will come forth and be like the original seed because it is the same seed. And what I need you to understand with that is that if God in the beginning, amen, could say, let there be, that's the seed that was in God. When God placed that seed in man, man has the same authority, the same ability is inside of man to say, let there be. That if God was omnipotent and God is inside of man, that makes man omnipotent. So when God speaks and the miraculous happens, when man speaks, the miraculous is also supposed to happen.
And if it doesn't happen, something went wrong somewhere. No obstacle can stop it from happening. No trouble can stop it from happening. If God said it, then so shall it be. Listen, the very same law applies to the church today. Whatever seed started the church will come forth and be like the original seed, because it's the same seed. In these last days, the true bride, Christ's seed, will come to the headstone. She will be the super church, a super race, as she nears him. They and the bride will be so much like him that they will be in his very image. This is in order to be united with him. They will be one. They will be the very manifestation of the word of the living God. Denominations cannot produce this wrong seed. They will produce their creeds and their dogmas mixed with the word. This mongrelizing brings forth a hybrid product. There's a lot more that I could read, but this is what the angel of the Lord told the prophet, pick up his pen and write, and he wrote that about you. Those, amen, that are in the bride will come to this spot. We will come to a place, amen, that the seed that was in God will recognize that seed is in us, and that seed will begin to mature. I'm getting ready to close. I have two things that I just want to share with you. I'm not going to read it, but Brother Branham said I was going to choke it, but I got to say it. Man is omnipotent. See, the prophet actually said man is omnipotent. And I was just reading this book about seeds. And, you know, seeds, you know, when you're looking at a seed, you have no idea what you're really looking at, right? You take an apple tree seed or orange tree seed. You take that. And you take that and you put it inside the earth. And we here in Florida, we got the mango seed. You take that mango seed and you put it in. And I always share this story of my parents putting that seed in the ground. Man, now that tree, after years and years, the first few years, that thing wasn't producing nothing. But after years and years of being planted, now we got to go and cut that thing down because it's getting ready to take over the house, right? Because, I mean, that is something, the seed, you never understand the potential. You never know how much can be produced from that one seed. And the reason that, I mean, you can't see all the potential in it. And when we recognize that God's word is a seed that dwells inside of us, we don't know what that word will produce if we'll just put it in the right atmosphere. Right? Amen. You can take a seed and put it in the earth and it won't do anything. You got to water that seed. Amen. Now I'm back to two Friday nights ago. And the way that you water God's word, God's seed that he gave you, the way that you water that, you have to water it with praise. God, you promise. God, you say it. See, you water your seed with praises. So, amen. And when it comes to your body, you got to confess God's word over your body. Amen. God's word, you were wounded for my transgressions. You were bruised for my iniquities. The chastisement of my peace is upon you. With your stripes, I am healed. Come on. Amen. And you can't even say, with your stripes, I am sick. No, with your stripes, I am healed. You didn't die so I can be sick. You died so I can be healed. You didn't die so I can be bound. You died so I can be delivered. So I'm going to water my promise with my praise. I don't care how I feel. I'm going to give you praise anyway. Because I'm watering on my promises. I'm watering that seed. Church, this is the way we got to act. This is the way we got to respond. We give the devil way too much credit. Let's give the credit back to the Lord Jesus. You said it. It's your responsibility. It's not my responsibility. I'm going to say what you said. I'm going to confess your word about it. I'm going to only speak the word. Amen. Doubt is off limits. As of today, speaking doubt is off limits. No longer can we speak doubt. We got to speak faith. Because it's going to be like we say. Our words create the right atmosphere for God to move. Say it and don't take it back. I said it. We're going to build debt free. And I am not taking it back. This is my story. And I'm sticking to it. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise. Thank you, Jesus. Let's pray. God, we're grateful. We something has happened in this place today. Something
is released. Something has been released. In the midst of this church, God, today marks a new beginning for us. May 3rd, 2014. May 4th. 4 being the number of deliverance. 5 being the number of grace. Something was released here today. And God, we realize that there will be obstacles. Just as there were in Scripture when you told the disciples to go to the other side. As you told the children of Israel to go into the promised land.
Hallelujah.
Every time they went, they ran into obstacles. But when we ran into an obstacle, God, help us not to turn back. You want to go sit down now. You just want to see us just take this and just run with it. That's what you're waiting for us to do. You want to go sit down and just watch us do what you have ordained us to do. And God, help us, Lord, not to get in a tizzy, in a worry, in a, Lord, to get fretful. But God, to know that if you said it, then so shall it be. Because when omnipotence speaks, the miraculous takes place. God, we just release this. We release it. We release it to go forth and bring, amen, Lord, bring the fruit of what was said to pass. Let the manifestation go. Help us to walk by faith and not by sight. God, and I don't know what other saints may be going through, and I don't know. I know that there's some of us battling with sickness, and it's just a battle. We already claim victory. Amen. We do not claim sickness. We claim victory in our bodies. I claim glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. And God, I know sometimes we can get a little relapsed in our faith, and we'll say, well, if we don't get victory on this side, we'll have victory on the other side. We realize that. But God, we're taking victory on this side. Taking victory in our bodies. We're taking victory in our families. We're taking victory. Lord, as I was just, I had it in my notes, just didn't get a chance to say it. But Lord, the prophet went to a man one night after church. And he says, I give you your sons. I give you your children. I give them to you. They were unsaved at the time, not even thinking about serving you. But when that man received that word that night, he went home and immediately his children began to walk in the ways of the Lord. So God, you gave salvation. You gave healing. You spoke to a storm. You did all these things. And it's just to remind us of who we are as children of God. The Bible says that the earth is groaning, waiting for the manifestations of the sons of God. Here we are, Lord. Here we are, God. We're going to fulfill that scripture because it's written of us to fulfill. You said, greater works than these shall ye do, for I go unto my Father. So, Lord, we're here to do the greater works. Every promise that you made will be fulfilled in our midst. In Jesus' name, we declare it. Amen. Amen. Oh, God. Hallelujah. Come on, church. Let's just praise him. Let's just praise him. Begin to water every promise with praise. Whatever it is that you're standing in the gap for, just begin to water. You're looking for your family. Lord, I thank you for my family. Lord, I thank you for my healing. Lord, I thank you. Just begin to water every promise with praise. Let it flow out of your mouth, because you can have what you say, church. You can have what you say. Hallelujah. Come on, give him praise in this place. Come on, worship him in this place. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for deliverance in my son. Thank you for deliverance in my daughter. Hallelujah. You set the promises unto me and to my children. Those that are far off, as many as the Lord our God shall call. God, I thank you.
You said you're the Lord God that healeth all our diseases. Lord, I thank you for healing me. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to his name. Hallelujah. We got to worship him in the midst of whatever we're going through. He's able to turn it around. I said he's able to turn it around. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Exceedingly abundantly above all you can ask from him, it's according to the power that worketh in you. In you. You see, God is able to do just what he said he would do. He's gonna fulfill every promise to you. Come, don't give up on God, 'cause he won't give up on you. He's able. Yeah, yeah.
Come on, let's sing it again.
Exceedingly, oh, exceedingly, oh, abundantly, above all you can ask from him, yeah, according to the power that worketh in you, in you. And don't let God is able to do just what he said he will do. He's gonna fulfill every promise to you. Oh, don't give up on God, 'cause he won't give up on you. Don't give up on God. Don't give up on God, 'cause he won't. Come on, sing it again. Don't give up on God. Don't give up. Oh God, 'cause he won't give up on you. Say he's able. Yes, he is. I say yes, he is. Yes, he is. Everybody say, oh, 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 he's able. Sing it again, y'all. Whatever you need, he's able. Whatever you want, God's able. So he's able. He's able. He's able. He's able. He will, 'cause he can. He's able. Oh, he's able. Jesus cool. He's able. God's able. Whatever we need, whatever we want, God's able. Yes, He is. Don't give up on God, 'cause He won't give up on. Don't give up on God, say. Don't give up on God, 'cause He won't. Come on, don't give up on God, say. Don't give up on God, 'cause He won't give up on you. He's able. Somebody ought to praise Him in this place. Hallelujah, Jesus. I believe Your word, oh God. I believe Your word, oh God. Thank You, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Thank You, Jesus. Lord, we thank You. We praise You, God. Amen. Today You heard the word. And I mentioned, amen, if you want to experience this power, this type of power in your life, God has a certain way that we have to come. In the book of Acts chapter 2, it says that we have to repent. We have to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of our sins. It says we shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. It says the promise is unto us and to our children, those that are far off, as many as the Lord our God shall call. This morning, if you don't know Jesus and the pardon of your sins, I want to give you an opportunity to accept Him in the pardon of your sins. If you've never repented of the things that you've done wrong, knowing that you need a Savior, knowing that you need a God to make a difference in your life, I want to give you that opportunity today. If you're one that has not repented and would like to today, just signify it by the lifting of your hands right where you're sitting. Just signify, Lord, I need You, God. I want more of You. God sees your hand. God sees it. If there's one that has not, maybe you've repented, but you've never been baptized in the name of Lord Jesus Christ, I want to encourage you. Get baptized as soon as you possibly can. God has more for you than you can ever imagine. But He needs you to come the way that He has asked you to come. I'm going to pray with you all today. I'm going to pray with you, and I just want you to be sincere in your heart. Receive this moment, this day, as a change, amen, in your life. And I just want you to talk to the Lord in your own way and say, Lord, I'm sorry for the things that I've done. God, I recognize how much I need You in my life, and I repent of my sins today, Jesus, and ask that You would come into my heart. God, I need You, Lord, and I admit that right now, right here and right now, I admit that I need You, Jesus. So forgive me of every sin and every shortcoming. Look beyond all my fault and see my need today. God, You saw the hands that were lifted in this place, and I pray that You'd meet Your people right at the point of their need. May You do something special in their hearts right now as they turn from their wicked ways and they turn towards Your word. God, I pray that they wouldn't just stop here at repentance, but they'll go all the way, God, to being baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, because that's what You asked us to do according to the book of Acts chapter 2. Lord, and after we're baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, You promised to fill us with the Holy Ghost. So God, I pray that You would fill with the Holy Ghost. Maybe there's some that has already been baptized, but God, they've never experienced the filling of the Spirit. I pray, God, that their hearts will be ripe and ready for a tremendous, amen, gush of the Spirit to come in, God, and just make the difference in their lives. God, we commit each one, Father, to You, amen, as trophies of this message that was preached today. We thank You for Your word that has gone forth. We thank You for the liberty that You've given. We thank You, Lord, for inspiring us, God, to declare before it even happens. We call things that be not as though they already were. And we're going to act like we already got it. We're going to talk like we already got it. We're going to walk like we already got it. We're going to praise You in advance for it.
We're going to stand together, united as one, Lord, as we approach the goals that you have set for us. This is our Red Sea, and we shall overcome, because greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. Bless us now, God, as we leave this place, but not your presence. As we come back tonight at 5:30 for communion and for feet washing, we pray that you would meet us here in the only way that you can. God, we speak healing to every sickness. God, you're the same one that spoke to a man, that centurion's servant. He said, if you just speak the word only, my servant will be made whole. So we, Lord, that seed lays on the inside of us. So we speak the word of healing to everyone that is sick. That Lord, everyone under the sound of my voice, everyone that would hear this on tape, on the internet, or whatever, we speak healing right now. In the name of Jesus, we declare it. And we thank you, God, for each and every heart, for everybody being healed. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. God, we praise you. God, we thank you. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. Thank you, Jesus. Again, I want to, amen, just appreciate our brother Ernesto for being with us today. God bless you, brother Ernesto. Amen. The brothers will come at this time to dismiss you. Thank you.
Amen.